السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، قرآن شریف از میل بیان of different groups of people. And when the Quran Sharif speaks of any group of people that were existing in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then since the Quran Sharif is going to remain till the day of Qiyamah, and the Quran Sharif is the book of guidance and hidayat till the day of Qiyamah, therefore these type of groups will exist all times. The difference is this, that in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there were kuffar, there were the mu'min and the munafiqeen. Then of course you have the different categories. The mushrikeen are also part of the kuffar, the Yahud Nasara also part of the kuffar, because they didn't believe in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's risalat. But basically it's these three groups. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ. From there it goes on. Now we're not going to any tafsir. This is an informal majlis. So we discuss certain issues that are relevant for our Islam. So these type of groupings will always remain. Till the day of Qiyamah you will have kuffar. You will have those we term as the true and the good mu'min, and you will also have those who are the munafiqun. Again, in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, those who were munafiqs, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him that who they are. And their nifaq and hypocrisy was generally of the kind where they had outwardly a proclamation of Iman and Islam on their tongues, but at heart they had nothing but enmity and hatred for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and for the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They even built up the masjid at Iraq, and they wanted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come and perform a salat there so that it gives it some kind of authenticity and sacredness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's whole detail in the Quran Sharif, tafsir, tafasir, and he was asked to destroy that, because it was not a masjid, it was a place for creating fitna and mischief, for plotting and planning and scheming against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. On one occasion, it is mentioned in the books of history, that on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam actually said, ukhruj ya fulan, ukhruj ya fulan, ukhruj ya fulan. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to go out of his way. Although these people had dislike, or they at heart were not believers, but since they used to read loudly kalima and give shahadat and read salat and salam, and they used to sometimes even join the Muslims just to show that they are Muslims. So if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had punished them, then people would have said that he punished his own Muslims, or he distanced his own Muslims. But he was informed that these people are nothing but hypocrites. Now in our time we cannot say with regards to any person that he is a hypocrite of that kind, where there is nifaq in the person's aqidah and belief. But with regards to nifaq and hypocrisy in the person's a'mal, now this is a very, very common trait in our society, our communities, ourselves, and the nations at large. Hypocrisy and nifaq in a'mal. And this is proven from the hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the signs of a munafiq, ayatul munafiq thalas, iza haddasa kazaba, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the signs of a munafiq are three. That when he speaks lies. And when he makes promises, he breaks the promises. We're talking about intentional breaking of promise. The person has got no intention of fulfilling that promise. And when he is entrusted as a domina, then khan, then he makes khayanat. And in one place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that when the person enters into some kind of debate or discussion or something, and some kind of argument, then he starts becoming vulgar, uses vulgar language. Now there's a lot of details, I'm not going in that direction. But from this we understand that there can be nifaq in amal, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving these as signs of nifaq. Everyone across the board, all our mashayikh, great, great awliya, great muhaddithin, mufassireen, everyone deals with the subject of nifaq and hypocrisy. But as time went along, somehow it died down. That means we do quote the ahadith on nifaq here and there in some bayan or some waz and nasihat. But to make it a kind of a subject that where a person goes on and on and on for days and days talking about this great weakness and great disease and sickness which we term as nifaq and hypocrisy. In recent times it was Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah. It seemed as if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had made him a specialist in this field. Everybody has discussed it. Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah discusses it. In Al-Fawzul Kabir you will find it. In Hujjatullah you will find it. In the same way, in so many other kitabs, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah has written quite a bit on it. In Ihya ul-Ulum you will find quite a bit of discussion on it. So everybody has written. In Kimya Sa'adat, he's got a whole chapter on it. In the same way, in Jawahir al-Qur'an, you will find it. Now, all these kitabs and the tafasir of the Qur'an Sharif, wherever they come across these ayat of the munafiqeen, they discuss it. But as I said, that generally it is limited to a discussion of those ayat whenever we were discussing those ayat and verses. But for the purposes of islah, as I said, that for a number of days or for a number of months, continuous in recent times, I'm talking about 40, 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, then you will find that it was Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah. Great, great ulama used to come and attend his majalis. Great qurra used to come, huffaz used to come, and the general public used to come. Now, amongst those that used to come, many were like us, well-dressed in Islamic garb, looking very pious and righteous and holy. So we believe that there is no requirement for any kind of operation upon our hearts, because we are very pious already. We have got namaz, roza, zakat, hajj in our lives, we make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, we make hajj upon hajj, and we make umrahs upon umrahs, so therefore, our hearts are very pure. And there's no need for any kind of operation or any kind of medication. So first a person must realize that he is sick. If a person doesn't even realize that he is sick, then how is he going to go for treatment? And if a person realizes that he is sick, but he does not want to go to the specialist, to the doctor, to the surgeon, then too he won't get cured. And if the person goes to the doctor and to the specialist, and the specialist, after having checked him, he diagnoses cancer, he diagnoses tuberculosis, he diagnoses some other kind of sickness and weakness, and then he gives him some kind of a prescription. So the person takes the prescription, puts it in his pocket, goes home and relaxes. So he too will get no benefit with that prescription. Sometimes surgery is required. So Hazrat Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, they said that this was a subject with which he dealt at length, and he discussed it in so many different majalis of his. And he used to always say that, what is the benefit of you telling me all your good points? Say, those who have come for Islah, then nobody wants to show what his weakness is. Everybody wants to talk about some good dream that he had, Or a person wants to talk about how much of tahajjud he makes and ishraq he makes and how much of charities he gives and how much of good deeds he does. So you say, Alhamdulillah, all those good deeds that you are doing, mashallah, mubarakbad. But when will you say what is wrong with you? How can you get treatment if there's no exposure and no acknowledgement of what the weaknesses are? Until then, he said, you cannot really get any kind of treatment, or you cannot get any kind of cure. So in one place, or in one of his majlis, he mentioned that yahi ikhlas wa nifaq ki behas meri sari umar ki kamai hai. So this discussion about ikhlas and hypocrisy, sincerity and hypocrisy, is my whole life assets and achievement is that I discuss this in great detail. He says, this is what I have really understood. تو میں آنے والوں سے زیادہ اوراد اور وصائف کا مطالبہ کرتا ہوں, نہ ان کے ظاہری ٹیپ ٹاپ ہی پر خوش ہو جاتا ہوں. میں صرف یہ دیکھتا ہوں کہ ان میں اخلاص کا کتنا درجہ پیدا ہو چکا. He said, no matter how well dressed they may come in my majlis and no matter how much of wazifas they read and come, but I am going to only ask them, or I am going to look at how much of ikhlas has now come into their lives, how much of sincerity has come in their lives, how much of actions are being done for the raza and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, that is something that I look at. And then he said something that is now relevant to each and every one of us. We should look at our hearts. Our problem is that if every time some weakness is discussed, then we look at everybody else that has got that kind of weakness except ourselves. And in Islah, that is the important thing, that the person must look at what weaknesses are in himself. If we look into ourselves, then we will find these weaknesses. Sahaba-i Kiram radiallahu anhu ajmain, in spite of their ikhlas and in spite of their great connection and bond with Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at their fear of nifaq and hypocrisy. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that do you find any kind of hypocrisy in me? Now can we even expect any kind of hypocrisy and nifaq in Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu? Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on that one occasion, he says, I have become a munafiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was told this, that why does he consider himself as munafiq? He said, because when they sit in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is as if Jannat and Jahannam is before us. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith. He said, but when we go back to our children and our families, then that kafir doesn't stay. That feeling does not remain. Now they didn't commit any sin, that's all. That feeling, that kafir, as when Jannat and Jahannam, as if they were watching it in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now that feeling also, that kafiyat just went down a little bit, and they considered that to be nifaq. So when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala hears that, he says, if that is the case, then I'm also a munafiq. Now these people, they could be no better believers than them. The Quran Sharif gives testimony to their belief, and they are fearing that there mustn't be any kind of nifaq and hypocrisy in our lives. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after listening to it, he said, if that same condition had to remain, then the angel will come down and shake your hands. Sa'atan fasa'at, and sometime this, sometime that. That means if you had to remain in that same kafiyat, can you eat and drink after that? Can the person then associate with his wife and children? The person will always be in a different world. But we are living in a world of asbab and means, so we have to be normal and balanced. There has to be eating, drinking, marrying, running business. Now all these things can't remain the same. But the point is that they feared this nifaq and hypocrisy. And we are full of nifaq and hypocrisy, but we fear nothing. So what a world of difference it is. So he says, aaj kal logo ka haal ye hai, and I discussed this in some other majlis 1 or 2 years ago, must be. آج کل لوگوں کا حال یہ ہے کہ ان کی عبادات اور وظائف کو دیکھیے تو جنید و شبلی معلوم ہوتے ہیں، اور اخلاق اور معاملات پر نظر کیجئے تو فرعون سے کم نہیں. آج کل لوگوں کا حال یہ ہے کہ ان کے عبادات اور وظائف کو دیکھیے تو جنید و شبلی معلوم ہوتے ہیں، اور اخلاق اور معاملات پر نظر کیجئے تو فرعون سے کم نہیں ہے. فی الوقت دا نماز، دا عبادات، دا ذکر، دا تلاوت، عمرہ، دا حج and all other aspects, then you will think this person is Shibli of the time, is Junaid of the time, Bayezid of the time. But he said, when you look at the dealings, when you look at the relationship with people, when you look at the transactions, when you look at the akhlaq and the behavior and the morals and the etiquettes, then they are not any less than Fir'aun. The Fir'aun say we come. That is our condition. If you look at our zahir, then our zahir will give the impression that we are the Junaid Baghdadis of the time. Now this does not mean that the person must not worry about his zahir. Again, we mustn't go on another extreme that lots of people say, this person, he speaks a lot of lies too, but he's got beard also. This person, he steals, but he makes namaz also. This person, he womanizes, but he's in the first saf also. So now, two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't mean the person must leave the first saf. It doesn't mean the person must now shave off his beard. It doesn't mean that the person must now change his libas, or he mustn't make namaz. What it means, that it is not appropriate, it is not befitting, it is not right. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, oh you believers, why do you say that on which you do not practice, that on which you don't make amal, that your word is something different and your practice is different, your qal is different and your hal is different? So now there it is explained that it does not mean that the person must not say good things and he must not invite towards good, he must not make nasihat, he must not do anything now because he's not making amal. There are two duties upon the person, one is to make the nasihat and the other is to make amal. It's not befitting that a person is dressed in the garb of a good Muslim and thereafter is engaging in womanizing, is engaging in zina, adultery, fornication, watching the haram on the internet, porn sites, filthy magazines, speaking lies, taking false oaths and qasams, beating up the wives, swearing. That is not appropriate, it is not befitting, because the person's hal is something different. And this is what I always talk about, is the sadaqat. The sadaqat must not be only in words. Sadaqat has to be in the person's life. Not only that a person spoke some truthful words, so it's enough. In the life of the person, the zahir and the batin, there must be sadaqat. Or they talk about synchronization, big words they use, that's what it is. So he says that if you have to look at the akhlaq and the muamlat and the muasharat, then Fir'aun se kam nahi. Now it is difficult for us to use these type of words, that because these people were of that level and of that caliber, that people couldn't point a finger at their akhlaq and their muamlat, their dealings, their relationship with people. Their anger also was justified anger. Their happiness also was within the parameters of Sharia. Their sorrow, their grief, their happiness, their joy, their celebration, their laugh, their smile, their joke, anything and everything, they're eating, they're drinking, they're walking, they're talking, everything you could. If anybody wanted to know what the teachings of Sharia were, or what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq were, or what was his way of dealing, then they had to just look at their lives and they will find it in there. You will find the teachings of Sharia in their life. If he was a rich person, then you will find this, all the masail that relate to a rich person in his life. And he's a poor person, then you will find all the teachings of Sharia that with regards to a poor person in his life. If he was a ruler or a hakim, he was in the government, then you will find it there also. It's not that every person who is following Sharia has to be very, very poor. There's no such hadith sharif. Person can be rich and he can still follow the Quran and Sunnah. So in the lives of these people we found that. So therefore they could speak things like this. Now we don't have it, we have so much of nifaq and hypocrisy in our own lives that if we have to tell somebody they point a finger straight away at us. Check your dealings, check your muasharat, check your way of life. Check your akhlaq, straight away they point you. Can I trust you? Look at the lies that you speak, now they straight away point fingers at us. Yahan bhi log aate hai aur baat baat par mujhse taazim chahte hai. Ye kis qadar afsos aur ghairat ki baat hai, ke aaye yahan islah ke liye aur chahe taazim. Goya zahir to kare deen aur maqsood ho dunya. اسی کا نام نفاق ہے, اس کا علم تک اب نہیں رہا. حالانکہ یہ اتنا بڑا کھوٹ ہے کہ اس کے ہوتے ہوئے فائدہ یا تکمیل ناممکن ہے. ایسے مینی پیپل کم ٹو مائی خانقاہ اینڈ دے کم فار اسلام بٹ دے وانٹ دیٹ آئی مسٹ ریسپیکٹ دیم, آئی مسٹ گیو دیم عزت, آئی مسٹ گیو دیم پرومیننٹ پلیس, آئی مسٹ آلویز پیٹ دیم آن دی بیک. So you say, in this way, do you think Islam will be made? That is a different thing, that every person that comes, he has a right. Therefore, Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that if a person comes as a visitor, if he says, I've come as a visitor, so then I will make his ikram, I will feed him, I will do everything, and I will look at all the good points in his life. The person said, I came for visiting. So mehman has got rights. So as a mehman, he says, then I will do everything within my means to make him comfortable, be hospitable, and give him whatever, make his khidmat, because he has come as a mehman, as a guest. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even entertained the kuffar. He didn't accept their way of life, na'uzubillah. He didn't integrate, as we say, as integrate. We integrate so much that we disintegrate after that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not integrate in that man. But he expressed, or he extended his hospitality and kindness, and that won them over to Islam, brought them into deen. So as a mehman, he say, I will make ikram. And I will look at all the good points in this person. I won't look at his weaknesses and shortcomings. My gaze won't go onto that. But if a person says that I came for my islah, and I'm attending your programs, or I'm coming to the majlis, or I'm coming to the khanqa, for my islah, I'm coming for my reformation and change, he says, then I look at all the weak points in the person. So then I look at all his weak points. If a person goes to a specialist, a doctor, a physician, and he's got heart problem, he's got lung problem, liver problem, major problems he's got. But his sight is excellent, his hearing is very good, and his speech is very clear. There are problems with the heart, liver, lungs, but it hasn't affected these parts of the body as yet. So his hearing is good, his speech is good, his sight is good. Now this person goes to the specialist checks him up, and after that, when he asks him, now what's your report? So he says, the report is that your sight is very good. Your hearing is very good and your speech is very good, so you can go home. So what would, after checking his speech and hearing, he says, these three things are very good, so there's no problem in your life, you can go home. If you're going to go there and say that I want a check-up because I'm feeling a bit weak or I'm getting pain here or pain there and I want a complete check-up, so then he's going to point at every weakness that he can find. But if you went there and you tell him, just check my sight, check my hearing, check my speech, or I've just come to visit you, so then it's different, he may offer some tea. But a person who comes for his heart bypass and transplant and is coming here for check-up of his sicknesses and weaknesses and ailments and all that, then do you find them in the surgeries entertaining? That everybody that comes, first they give them a nice good dawat and entertainment, and then they tell them, Alhamdulillah, everything's okay, you can go home. That is different, that sometimes they give you. Here they charge you fees also. And then that is the kamal of the doctor, that he points out those weaknesses and he gives you a remedy for that. Otherwise, what is the kamal of that person? So like that, he says, when the person says, I came for my islah, so then that person, I look at all his weaknesses. I check his walk, I check his talk, in other words. Because these things reveal the person. Because he came for islah. That is different again after that day. They don't purposely, without any reason, just reprimand and scold and... But if there is a need for that, there is a need for operation, because somebody, there is just a need to write one prescription and give it to him, go to the dispensary, go to the chemist and take some prescription and go home. And for somebody there is a need for operation. Now if this person says, no, I don't want to submit myself, why must I have my chest sliced and cut? And why must the doctor do, and the surgeon do chipping, chopping, cutting, slicing, like the women do of onions and potatoes? So then this person is not going to get Islam. So Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that this is something that is very, very common, and therefore he says, my place, I deal with this extensively, and that is the subject of nifaq and hypocrisy. And he used to say that it is the currency of the time, especially what we term as diplomacy. In the political world, we call it diplomacy, which is in reality the art of speaking lies. What is diplomacy? America and Europe and England, France, all these places, Europe and UK and others. What is the kamal? The kamal is what they say, diplomacy. And what is that diplomacy? Tell the Muslim something, tell the Yahud something else, say we are with you too, we are with you too. And then support the Yahudis and destroy the Muslim land. That's diplomacy. That is diplomacy. Therefore he says, aaj kal logon ne deen ko sirf zahir mein munhasir kar liya hai. Libas o surat zahiri deendaron ki tarah bana liya. Kuch zahiri ibadat, namaz, roza wagaira kar liya. Aur samjhe ke hum kamil deendar ho gaye. I emphasize the same point. He says, these days we have just limited our islah to our zahir. Yes, that's what I was explaining, that the zahir is extremely important. We must not neglect the zahir. Our outward is extremely important. We always give the example of the aeroplane. That the aeroplane, even if it's a brand new one and the recent ones which carry 600 and 800 passengers, now if it has just come, brand new, seats are new, engine new, everything new, brand new, but it doesn't have tires. Now 600 passengers are sitting in there, because it got no tires, so the 600 passengers will remain seated. Till Qiyamah day they won't take off. No matter how much announcements are made, but the engine is brand new, what you are complaining about, no tires. If the passengers, they say, why are you not taking off? They say, there's no tires, no wheels. So if they complain about that and they say, tire is just one small part of such a huge aeroplane, how big is the tire? And you worried about that. But we know it's dependent on that. For takeoff, it's dependent on that. The wings of a pigeon, if they cut, of a bird, it's cut. Now the bird is not taking off. You say, no, but the bird has got a very fantastic heart. Fantastic heart it has got. Very strong and powerful heart, this pigeon. But there's no wings to take off. The zahir is not there, it's not taking off. Therefore the beard, the zahiri, libas, all is important. But that is not sufficient. We have to have the heart also. We should have to have the spirit also, the ruh and soul also. So he says we have limited it just to zahiri, libas, and sometimes a little bit of namaz, roza. And we think that we have become perfect Muslims. Halanke unke baatin bilkul fussaq fujjar jaise hai. But if you look at the character, look at the akhlaq, and look at the dealings, and look at the way they behave, look at the arrogance, and then you will find that there is nothing but the traits of the fussaq and the fujjar, the real transgressors. Fasiqo jaise akhlaq, fasiqo jaise muamlaat, unhi jaisi gandi muasharat. The same character, the same akhlaq of those who are disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. But in spite of that, the person says, I'm dindar. Batin ki islah ki taraf aaj kal logo ko mutawajjah karna mushkil hai. Pehle to aadmi ye koshish karta tha ke musleh par apna batin zahir. Pehle to aadmi apna koshish karta hai ke musleh par apna batin zahir hi na ho. اور اگر اس نے اپنی فراست سے اس کی باطن کو سمجھ لیا تو پہلے تو اقرار ہی نہیں کرے گا بلکہ نفس اس سے گریز کرتا ہے اور جب دلائل اور واقعات سے اور ایسے اقوال اور افعال سے جو وقتاً فوقتاً اس شخص سے صادر ہوئے کوئی ثابت کرتا ہے کہ تمہارا باطن ایسا ہی ہے جیسا تشخیص کیا گیا اس وقت جا کر کہیں وہ اصلاح کی طرف متوجہ ہوتا ہے. He says, what happens is that first of all, the person is not going to even admit that he has got these weaknesses and traits. He will try to conceal and cover up everything. His zahir will be very good, and he expects now the shaykh to look at the zahir and give him a certificate, give him khilafat, that this person is deserving because of the zahir. And if that, but if due to the shaykh's firasat, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, فَإِنَّهُ يَنْزُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this batini firasat that sometimes they are able to get some kind of kash. But they don't use it as evidence. That is their kamal. That even if they see something, but until the person doesn't say himself that this is my weakness, they don't use it as evidence. But if somehow then he tells him that these are your weaknesses and shortcomings, then at the end of the day somehow he may admit. So then what is the purpose of going to the shaykh, going to the majalis, if the person wants to just conceal, conceal and conceal. Or if he reveals to, he doesn't want to make amal on it, doesn't want to make any kind of amal, expects that the shaykh is going to have some kind of magic wand, and within a few seconds the person is going to be able to fly sky high. So this majlis being majlis of Islam, this is our duty, it is our duty. And Shaykh doesn't look down upon anybody, I have told you all many times. If a doctor has to look down upon a patient, even though that patient may have got AIDS, and he tells him that, why did you then go to those haram places and those haram quarters? Get out of my surgery, I'm not prepared to assist you and help you. You're a devil, you're a shaitan. So is that person worthy of being called a doctor? The doctor will reprimand him and say, why did you do this? He shouldn't have gone there. You know the consequences. You know of how many people with full-blown AIDS, what happened to them. You know how the Qabristans are filling up with such kind of people. And why did you go there? He'll say that also. And then he'll say, but now take this medication. Now take this. Now do this, do that. And see me again. And he will monitor and he will give him whatever is required. And he'll show compassion also. That reprimanding also was with compassion. There was no enmity in it. Now if the patient gets upset, he reprimanded me and runs away. So that Islah will never be made of that person. So this is what is required. That we have to look at our batin. And we will see that in our institutions of deen also today, this nifaq and hypocrisy seems to have entered. Nafsaniyat has come in. Ikhlas seems to have gone. In our dini activities also, how much of nifaq and hypocrisy? Where is that ikhlas? Where is that sincerity? If we had that ikhlas and we had that sincerity, we wouldn't have had the situation that we are now witnessing around the globe. In our dini institutions also. Khanqas are not free anymore from nifaq and hypocrisy. There's so much of hypocrisy. In the same way, organizations, Islamic organizations, look at the kind of nifaq and hypocrisy. Embezzlement of funds and all the other kinds of things that are happening. Look at the involvement, especially in those organizations where men and women are working together. What kind of things are happening? In some places they've got masjid committees with men and women. They say we must have equality. So they've got men and women in those masjid committees. And those meetings take place at night. The meetings take place at night. I'm talking about some other country where this happened. A meeting taking place at night. Now the husband to stupid number one, 10 o'clock at night, he leaves his wife there for the meeting and he's gone after Isha the meeting. And now in that whole committee, there's only those two ladies that are attending, young, pretty ladies must be. So what is going to happen? Then why must the husband then cry afterwards? Now masjid committee, is that masjid committee there? So nifaq of different kinds there is. This is the nifaq in amal. Whether you look at bukhal, which is miserliness, or you look at pride, you look at arrogance, or you look at jealousy, you look at malice, you look at greed, you look at all these type of things. Akhlaq-e razila. In reality, they are nifaq fil amal. In amal, it's nifaq. We're not saying in aqidah. So that is our obligation, that we look at these things in our lives. And before we leave this world, we take some action, take some action. Life is running out. I conclude once again on that incident that took place in this masjid last Friday. I can't get over it. Although I witnessed other mouths and deaths also. And some just like that also, sudden deaths. But here there was a person who was very, very fortunate and said, I repeat, he was very fortunate. Having completed his Jummah Salat, makes Salam, and next thing is gone. So very Mubarak, that day of Jummah, after Jummah, in the state of wuzu, in the masjid, what more do you need? But the lesson that he leaves behind for us, that a few minutes before that, whilst making wuzu, they is joking, laughing, talking, everything, walking inside. And there have been some plans also that after that I'll go and have my lunch here. In the evening I'm going to attend that program, or I'm going to go here or visit there or do this or do that. Nothing, the person, all his plans just remains. All the sudden deaths, that's what happens. So where can we be sure and certain that we are going to still live for many, many years? All those people who say, addicted, addicted, I always say, just at that moment, just think, when the fingers are going on those buttons to go to the porn sites and haram sites, just think, what if my fingers remain here and that dirty site stays on the screen and the life is gone, then what? The person that's going to some prostitute, just think, what if I am there and my life is gone? Any kind of sin, that is the break. What if? Otherwise there's nothing else. We can keep reading, reading, reading. We want wazifas, wazifas, the wazifas are not going to help unless we make the himmat to give up that sins. Wazifas are there in its place, there's need for wazifas. One person asked Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, said he, that he wants some wazifa because he cannot fulfill his mamulat. So he said, then after that you'll need another wazifa to remember this wazifa. And then you'll need another one to remember that wazifa. So it'll just be a whole chain of wazifas. Make him a... Allah Ta'ala has given us himmat, we don't want to use it. Ask that same person who says addicted, tell him, if somebody puts a gun on your head and says, now I want to see how addicted you are. Take that drug, now I want to see. Or the Lord, raise your gaze and cast lustful glance now and I blow your head, see how addicted you are. Or the person is watching the haram on the television and suddenly Allah Ta'ala forbid some burglars and thieves and murderers get into that house. So will that person say, hold on, hold on, but I'm addicted to this movie. Let me finish up first and after that you can talk. Why suddenly, Hamim la yun sarun? Everybody wants to read that wazifa that day. And Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, save us, we won't do this again. That person won't even know what he was watching there. So himmat is there if you want to give up. But if you don't want to give up, then nobody can make us give up. Unless Allah Ta'ala, but Allah, we ask Allah for forgiveness and mu'afi, that He must not give shake up. We are extremely weak. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah. ہم گنہگار ہے, سیاہکار ہے, مجرم ہے, خطاکار ہے, گندے. We are acknowledging every sin of ours, my beloved Allah. We are not justifying any of our sins. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. My beloved Allah, you dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn to us. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara ne. Ey Rabbe Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. Hame sihat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wali zindagi de. My beloved Allah, clean and purify us. Bless us with hearts that you give to the awliya and siddiqeen. Bless us with your qurb, with your marifat, with yaqeen in you, with tawakkul and trusting. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys make them reach their destination safely. Those who have no children bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have children make their children pious, righteous. Those who have completed the Hajj and they are returning or have returned make their Hajj maqbool, mabroor. Rabbi Kareem accept the du'as that they made there and they are making now. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who have passed away, fill the graves with noor, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Clean our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, envy, jealousy. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theatre, gambling, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Madina Tayyibah mein shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. Baqi mein dafan naseeb. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. My beloved Allah, we know we are pur khata, we are full of sins and weaknesses and shortcomings, but where do we go? We have come to your door with great hope and great umeed. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Ye dar par tera banda ba ummeed hai karam aaya. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed-e karam aaya. Rabb-e Kareem bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness and from all the corruption, fitnas and mischief that they ask for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Throughout the world wherever mankind is suffering, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Somalia, Sudan. Rabbe Kareem ki pareshani wa gham takheef ko dur farma. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations of each and every one that has extended his hand or her hand before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes, desires and aspirations. Students who are writing examinations, give them success in their examinations. Make them assets for our community. Protect them from the fitnas. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.